Live from Sacramento, California.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Featuring Damian Barling.
Yes, I absolutely still love Russell Westbrook. So what?
And Kenny Caraway.
Sometimes you're really just vibing out.
This is D-Lo and KC.
I'm the street's voice out west. Legendary self-made progress. Last time that I checked.
On ESPN 1320.
Hey, and the busy week continues. We're so happy that you're here with us. It is a busy day. It is a busy week. And we welcome you into the Tuesday edition of D-Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling. He is Kenny Caraway. And we are loaded with NBA news today. We've got the prestigious D-Lo and KC power rankings coming up at the bottom of this hour, but we've got to start with Kings news, and that's going to be the theme probably for the course of the next few days. We've got the 8-hour draft show tomorrow. We've got free agency beginning on Friday. We're going to get to react to everything in real time. But we've got our first major move of the Monty McNair era. Bogdanović has been rumored for weeks. Bogdanović is headed to Milwaukee in a sign and trade that's going to bring Dante DiVincenzo. DJ Wilson, I got to imagine, that's your boy?
Yeah, and 916 all day, man. Shout out to Capital Christian, my people over there. What up to them?
Also a Michigan guy.
Oh, yeah, for sure. DJ Wilson, we'll talk about it later, but, like, he had a hell of a run when he was at Michigan. Like, I didn't think he'd be that good.
And in college.
Yes.
In college, he had a hell of a run.
He had a hell of a run in college, yes.
Not so much with Milwaukee.
Not so much, but I mean, Who's the guy playing in front of him?
Oh, yeah, that guy's kind of good. He's kind of good in everything.
You're not going to see too many minutes with that guy on your squad.
Ilyasova's coming back also. Everything being done right now in Milwaukee is being done to protect Giannis Antetokounmpo. And we'll get to that. Not really necessarily, you know, the Bucks and Giannis, but really Giannis, James Harden, Anthony Davis, this whole Supermax phenomenon, I think, that we've got to kind of acknowledge, and maybe the NBA already has, this isn't working. At least it's not working the way that they thought it would. But we'll get to that. That has nothing to do with the Sacramento Kings, and that's what we want to talk about. Bogdanović. So, you know, first thing you got to do is you got to overreact, or you've got to react, and then you've got to overreact. And this is the first move of the Monty McNair era, and people are looking at this like, oh, my gosh, this is a complete teardown. He's going to gut this whole roster. We're going to start completely over all with this one move. And other people are looking at it like, I think, a little bit more sensibly. And it's like, yo, Dante DiVincenzo, he's a good baller. This is a fine little move for the Sacramento Kings here.
I'm going to go a step further. And I know people aren't going to like this. Well, some people might not like it. I think I don't want to say this is a lateral move, but Bogdan Bogdanović is not that much better than Dante DiVincenzo. He's not. And I like Bogey. I really like him. I'm sad that he's leaving because I liked him as a Sacramento King. But some of these people, some of y'all, I know y'all love him or whatever, but you're jumping out the window with the type of player he actually is. And I think he's going to go to Milwaukee and do a good job. Like, I think he's going to be a great piece for them. But I use the analogy earlier when we were on the show call. I talked about it like in a 2K setting, right? And, you know, I know you can't do everything based on video game ratings. But if you had a video game rating, in my head, you would have Bogey at like an 81, DiVincenzo probably at like a 77, 78. So I actually looked it up. And Bogdan's a 79 and DiVincenzo's a 77. And that's about right. Like, there's certain things that Bogdan can do a little better than Dante and vice versa. But I think they're about the same player, man. Really doing. And to hear people talk about how, like, the Kings got fleeced and once again they're giving back by far the best player in the trade. Like, I don't know about all that, man. I think we need to calm down on that just a little bit.
Well, you got to remember, you know, when you tune into D'Lo and KC and you tune into Kenny Caraway and Jason Jones or Damian Barling and Joe Adge, or you tune into your favorite Kings podcast, their favorite, you know, local sports show or whatever it may be, you get immersed in, you know, the guys that are here. And this isn't a Sacramento Kings fans thing. This is a fans thing. Mm-hmm. You become, you know, you start to overvalue the talent you have on the roster because you spend so much time talking about them. You spend so much time watching them. You spend so much time listening to other people talk about them.
Right.
Bogey is a very, very, very good player. Mm-hmm. And I was extremely curious to see what Monty McNair was going to do with him this week. And I don't think Dante DiVincenzo, I think Bogey's better. I wouldn't go so far as to say Bogey is substantially better, but if you ask me which one I would rather have, I'd rather have Bogdan Bogdanovic.
So, but
Dante DiVincenzo is not, he's a good ball player.
I don't mean to cut you off, but I want you to elaborate on what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
All things considered, right? So would you rather have Bogey at $15 million a year or Dante at, I don't know, $6 million a year?
Yeah, and I think that's about it. So, by the way, the sign and trade thing, you don't hear about sign and trades very often anymore because they're extremely complicated. So the way that this works, the way that this is laid out is, like, if Bogdan Bogdanovic, and I think this was the example Bobby Marks used, if Bogdan Bogdanovic signs a contract for $15 million, only $8.5 million is coming off to the books for the Sacramento Kings. But for the Bucks, they get all $15 million. It's really strange. Like, it's really just a sign and trades.
Came up with that.
Like, sign and trades have gotten extremely, extremely complicated. I guess. I mean, would I rather have Dante for what would it have been $9 million less? Like, I guess. What are they going to do with this money? And that's what I always go back to. When people talk about financial flexibility, I think that was one of the buzzwords from the Monty McNair press conference. It wasn't financial flexibility. It was flexibility. So I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he kept saying, we're going to remain flexible. We're going to remain flexible. We all assumed he meant financially.
Right.
Okay, like, so what are you going to do with it? It's like when people talk about, yo, we're going to get these draft picks back. So what? Like, what are you going to do with these draft picks? The last 5 years... I got to get the exact number. I have it in my notes for tomorrow's show. The last, like, 5 years, the Kings have, like, 8, 9, 10 first-round picks or something like that. Mm-hmm. And by the time Friday comes and Harry Giles is no longer a member of the Sacramento Kings, there'll be two of them on the roster, De'Aaron and Marvin.
Yeah.
And that number might be slight off. I'll have the exact numbers tomorrow. Yeah, but they're not. It's not good. And that was the old, and that's what this all kind of boils down to, is we're all anxious to see what Monty McNair and this front office are going to do. And this is our first kind of look. We don't know how they're going to draft. We don't know what they're going to be looking for in the draft. We just know, well, okay, they decided Bogdan Bogdanovic wasn't going to be a part of the future.
Yeah, and when you ask why you want that money, obviously, it's not necessarily to get into the Giannis sweepstakes, right? Like, that's not where you're at as a franchise and what you're able to do. But you want to have the room and the flexibility when things arise. You know, not saying that this is where the destination would be, but James Harden. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there was something to be worked out there and you were willing to take it on and the other team was willing to make that move with you, you want to have the ability to be able to do that financially. And I think that's more so where the financial flexibility comes from, not necessarily straight signing free agents.
But see, I guess that's another
thing. What your man say? If you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready?
Yeah, I guess so. But if, like, is that really the approach? Is it really the approach of, can we have the financial flexibility to trade for a superstar? Like, I know we look at, well, arguably, the biggest star the Sacramento Kings had on this roster, not counting Vince Carter, was Chris Webber, one who was a Sacramento King for a long time. You acquired him through a trade.
Yeah.
And I think that's what people kind of hang their hats on. Like, that's how you got to build in Sacramento. You're not going to get free agents to sign here. You're not going to get free agents to sign in small markets. And maybe you were just using James Harden as an example. I think we've hit an era in the NBA where you're not trading for stars like that anymore. Like, if there's obviously this entire James Harden story out there about going to Brooklyn and turning down a $103 million 2-year contract extension and all of that. But are we at the stage where Houston goes, nah, Brooklyn doesn't have an offer that we like, but you know who does? Sacramento. So we're trading to you, Sacramento. I don't think that's today's NBA. I don't think that's a thing anymore.
No, probably not. Not necessarily, but
I think agents have more power than they used to. I think players have more power than they used to. And you, if you're the Sacramento Kings with that financial flexibility, you're probably looking for someone a notch below those top stars that you try to acquire through trade.
Yeah, but you know, my whole point is you don't know what might arise. You don't know what situation might come about, and you,
so you want
to be ready for
that. For a what if?
It, better than all this money for 30 wins.
No argument there. Like you don't have an argument for me in that point. But I don't know. I guess this is all, what does Monty McNair think of Bogdan Bogdanovic? And we go back to, you know, I posted a clip on an ESPN 1320's Twitter page, D'Lo and KC's Twitter page as well. When Tony Zateras joined us last week, he said we're going to get our first idea of what Monty McNair thinks of this roster on the draft. Turns out we didn't have to wait that long. We found out Monday night, like, okay, well, we know what he thinks about Bogdan Bogdanovic, and he was an expandable player. And now all eyes, I guess, are going to go to Buddy Hield. They're going to go to the remaining players on this roster.
And Buddy is the next project. I'm over here rubbing my hands like Birdman about what I can get for Buddy, what move I can make for him. But I hear what you're saying as far as the what does the money really mean. But it's also about using the whole roster and using the money wisely. I know this is maybe an unpopular opinion to most, but like I started off the show saying, I don't think there's a huge difference between Bogey and DiVincenzo. I really don't. And if you can get 90% of the production that Bogey would get you for less money, why wouldn't you do that?
Well, you would. If you're Monty McNair, you would, because he did. We have the proof. This isn't hypothetical. This is what's happening. Trade can't be completed for another few days, but that's okay. This is absolutely what's happening. Dante DiVincenzo, many will remember from Villanova, his two national championship wins.
I'm surprised you didn't take an opportunity. You know, one of the national championship wins.
I didn't have to bring it up. I knew it would be sitting in your head, so I just let it be out there. Do you want to tell everybody listening who may not remember?
He beat the hell out of my Michigan Wolverines.
Was Harbaugh coaching that day?
Night.
Was Harbaugh he on the sidelines for that?
No, because they actually got to some kind of championship
game. That's a good point.
Coach Beilein actually won the big games, you know, when he got an opportunity to. So, no, Jim was nowhere to be found. But DiVincenzo killed it. That Villanova team was crazy, though. They were crazy.
Coach Beilein won big games in college. He couldn't even win a marginal game when he got to the NBA.
Besides LeBron, who can in Cleveland? I can't believe Cleveland had the nerve to be upset because this guy was trying to teach them something, trying to install some fundamentals into their sorry selves. Cleveland.
Sir, I'm going to need you to take a step back with your assessment of Beilein in the NBA. The dude's terrible.
He's not an NBA coach. I thought it was a bad move for him to go to the NBA. But, I mean, the bag was there. The bag was there. He's a lifetime coach.
Paid.
Yeah, he's a lifetime coach. He's like, look, in his mind, he's like, I can go back to college or high school anytime. Let me take a shot at the NBA. He did.
There's a lot more to talk about here with the Sacramento Kings. Does this look like an entire teardown? What does this mean for Buddy Hield? You can chime in. Phone lines are open.
We
want to
hear from y'all today, man. This is where we want to hear from the people.
916-349-1320. We're getting started here on Sacramento's home of 49ers football, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Again, 916-349-1320 if you want to jump in and be a part of the conversation. Also, you can hit us on social media at D'Lo and KC. We've got our power rankings coming up here in about 15 minutes or so, our prestigious power rankings, if you will. But all eyes are on the NBA now. Tons of NBA stories going on out there, and obviously none bigger here in Sacramento than Bogdan Bogdanovic being sent to Milwaukee, a trade that, you know, was first rumored. I guess this has been rumored for a while, at least Milwaukee's interest in Bogdan Bogdanovic was not like a quiet, silent observer. Like,
no, it wasn't a secret.
Yeah, they were telling every insider that would listen. And what was the original line in our first? Strong suitors, I believe, was the line that Shams first used maybe a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. And then it became the Bucks are really, really interested in pursuing Bogdan Bogdanovic. And then the first thing that we hear as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings involves Bogdan Bogdanovic, a sign and trade that's going to send him to Milwaukee with Dante DiVincenzo coming back along with DJ Wilson and Ilyasova.
Yeah. Good for Bogdan.
Now we
got
to overreact to it. Like, what does this mean? Like, is he tearing down the whole roster? Is Buddy gone? We're going to trade De'Aaron and Marvin, and we're going to have like $100 million in caps flexibility and five first round. Like, we've got to overreact. That's what we do.
You got to. So the team is moving again. Let's start there. They're moving. The Golden 1 Center is now going to be used as a. What do they want to put in the Thomas?
It could be hockey.
The Sharks are coming here, and they're going to be the new team, right? A little preview for one-on-one. But, look, first of all, it's good for Bogey. Happy for him. He's going to get to be in a playoff situation. I really like him. I like him as a player. You know what I mean? So I'm happy for that.
He's going to get to be in a playoff situation, man. He better be in a championship situation because that's all this is about in Miami. Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee is no longer trying to be a playoff team. They're trying to be a championship team. They're not even trying to be a team in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
They're at the stage of this game now when you have a transcendent superstar like Giannis Antetokounmpo, when you have a guy who people wonder, is he the next face of the league? You get to a certain point where you've got one option,
mm-hmm.
and the one option is championship, and that's where the Milwaukee Bucks are, especially after how good they've been the last two regular seasons. Really, last season, they were just phenomenal. Their season came to a screeching halt with injuries leading into the suspension on March 11th. And, you know, we were all kind of the mindset, well, uh-oh, I'd be very, very worried as it became clear the bubble was going to happen, as it became clear that there was going to be at least an attempt to resume the NBA season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be careful because the Bucks are healthy. And it never felt like they got it going in Orlando.
Yeah, I got my eye on Coach Bud. You know, I got my eye on him. And it's not to say that he's a bad coach or anything, because I think he's a good coach. He's a really good coach. He's great over the course of a season. When you get into the playoffs and teams get to see what you do night in and night out, and it gets a game plan for specifically every single thing that you want to do and your counters, I don't know if he has a changeup. You know what I mean? That's his old baseball term. He can throw the fastball. He'll come at you with, you know, his spread and all this other stuff. But when somebody's got that figured out, is he able to get to a plan B? Right now, between what he's able to do, what he was able to do in Atlanta, and what he's done in Milwaukee, the answer is no. Now he seems to have some horses to be a little more flexible. What can he do? I think that's where my eye is right now. And also Giannis. Giannis has to get better at certain aspects of his game as well. I think he needs to develop a better post game. They need to have an offense that gets him in the post a little bit more as well. So there's no real excuses for this team in Milwaukee right now. They should be a team that, like you said, their goal is to, at the very least, worst case scenario, reach the NBA Finals. Like, that's anything
that really
else is a failure.
The worst case scenario.
Yeah, anything
worst
else is a failure.
Is they just reach the NBA Finals. Yeah. They need to win, and that's why they've gone after Jrue Holiday. That's why they gave up, what was it, three future mm-hmm. first-round picks over the coming years. That's why they went out and acquired Bogdan Bogdanovic in a sign and trade. So, you know, they've made their power move. There's no wondering what this means for Milwaukee. There's mm-hmm. no wondering what we've seen over the last 24 hours, what this means for Milwaukee. This all centers around Giannis Antetokounmpo, and we'll talk about that later. This all centers about winning right now. Mm-hmm. What we don't know is what this means for the Sacramento Kings. We know that Bogdan Bogdanovic was always Vlade's guy. Mm-hmm. We've always known Bogdan Bogdanovic was an important part. And, you know, there's the component of him and Buddy, you know, kind of doing the switch there of one being the sixth man, one being the starter. And, you know, going back to, was it the start of Dave Yeager's final season where he was injured?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, like, he started the season, like, it felt like he never really got off the ground in that season. Like, he was super streaky. He was all over the place. Like, you would get those, you know, amazing, you'd get a nice 24-point night from him where he was incredibly efficient. He'd get to the foul line. He'd hit a couple threes that would electrify the Golden 1 Center. And then you'd get a couple of nights later, he'd be like 2-for-14.
Mm-hmm.
And he would just look lost out there. And I always thought, man, he never got into a rhythm after that injury. last year, you had a new coach. You had a new coaching staff. You had kind of a new philosophy, and it felt like you were dealing with guys being in and out of the lineup all year. And when I say guys, I mean everybody, whether it was Bogey, whether it was Marvin Bagley, whether it was De'Aaron Fox. The only consistent one, at least in terms of health, mm-hmm. was Buddy Hield, who is the next guy that we've all got our eyes on.
Yeah. Now, I thought what you said about Bogdan in 20, I guess that was 2019, where, you know, he never really got his groove. I feel like he didn't really recover from that. Or maybe this is just who he is. But I thought that's what he was last year, too. He was very inconsistent. The holes in his game kind of got magnified. They played better when he went into the starting lineup. But I think I remember seeing something where his numbers weren't necessarily better. Like, they actually might have gone down a little bit. And the team routinely got off the slow starts with him in the starting lineup. Not saying it's his fault at all. You know, I'm a big proponent for that move. I think it balanced out that roster along with getting everybody healthy. Like, it worked out. That was the move to make, and nobody's at fault, you know, for that move and during that time. But I just thought he was inconsistent his last two seasons. And I always go back to this because it was, to me, it was so telling. When they got in the bubble, that Mavericks game specifically, I think Bogey was one of 14, and the one he hit was like, were they
really
down four?
Late. It was, yeah, yeah.
7 seconds left or something like that. It was a fall away three. And there was, he had nothing. He had nothing that game. He couldn't get a shot to fall. And if his jumper wasn't falling, he couldn't get to the bucket. He couldn't get to the line. He couldn't get any easy buckets. And it for a lack of a better term, De'Aaron Fox was left out on an island out there as the only person that could create their own shot. You look at somebody like DiVincenzo. He's a little bit more shiftier. I'm not sitting up here saying that he's James Harden with the rock or nothing like that and get to the cup, but he's a little more shiftier. Coming off those screen and rolls, he looks to go a little bit more downhill, attack the basket a little bit harder. For some reason, he doesn't equate to free throws as much. Maybe that's a respect thing from the refs, but I just see him being a little more aggressive as far as getting to the cup a little bit more, and I think that might help out the Kings' offense a little bit.
Well, that's something the Kings desperately need help with, mm-hmm. is getting to the foul line. You know, with everything that you said about Bogdan Bogdanovic, and we can dive more into Dante DiVincenzo here in a minute, but with everything that you said about Bogey a minute ago, he still averaged 15 points per game last season, which was up from 14 points per game in the prior season. You talked about never recovering from that initial start to the season where he was so streaky, obviously coming off the injury, not faulting him for it. Like, it was a tough position for him to be in. He was expected to be a major contributor to the team. He wound up, you know, being out, being injured to start the year and kind of just couldn't find his groove, as you noted there a moment ago. He shot 41% that year. He shot 44% last year. So only, you know, marginally better, but he did play more minutes, and he was – obviously, the big switch with Bogey and Buddy there. I think it was in January or so.
Yeah. Did he get I can't remember. Did he get hurt last year? Didn't he have some
issues?
He
was in and out of the lineup, yeah. I don't know how many games he missed, because I know he played 61 games last year, but I don't remember how many games were played last year. Right. It obviously wasn't 82. I think it was 72.
Yeah,
I think
it was 72.
So I know Bogey, you know, definitely missed games last year. I can't remember what the specific injuries, you know, were with him or what the specific situation was with him. But he's been in and out of the lineup for the last 2 years. Dante DiVincenzo, he averaged 9.2 points per game last year. You know, it's just such a different situation when you measure a guy playing on a team with, you know, we haven't mentioned, at least I don't think we've mentioned Chris Middleton one time here in today's show. Chris Middleton, I know you're not super high on him. He's a really, really good ball player. I don't know if he's superstar status.
He's not. But he can play.
But he's really, really good. Yeah. I think he's a great compliment piece to Giannis Antetokounmpo. But, you know, regardless of what you think of Chris Middleton, he's option number two.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you've got a guy like Dante DiVincenzo there, like he's low on the depth chart, if you will, or the pecking order might be a better way of putting it. He's a little bit lower on the pecking order.
Kind of getting scraps.
He's not going to have – right. He averaged 7 attempts per game 7 3-point attempts per game, or 7 field goal attempts per game, and 4 3-point attempts per game. Like, he's not the guy.
No.
He's not the guy that they're looking for points. He's not the guy they're looking for anything other than to be out there and be a contributor. So, again, and that's kind of the line that's become popular on this show. It's the gift and the curse.
Mm-hmm.
With Sacramento, Bogey was expected to play a huge role. I have no idea what they're going to want Bogdanović to do in Sacramento or in Milwaukee. And I think that in kind of plays into the evaluation process of these players.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you know, we think Bogey can be, you know, but Bogey's obviously really good in Sacramento. It's like there's always a caveat. Like, he is good, but he's in Sacramento. Like, who's your guy in Sacramento?
No disrespect to Bogey and his talent. Like I said a number of times, I think he can play, but somebody's got to score the points. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That doesn't necessarily mean you're a 15-point-per-game score, like, on a championship squad. You know, it doesn't equate to that. Somebody's got to score. You're getting 90 to 100 from somewhere. Somebody's got to put it in there.
And with the Kings, you needed just about everybody that you can get.
Right.
In Milwaukee, welcome to the Dante DiVincenzo lifestyle, where you're going to be asked to contribute, but you're not going to be asked to carry the team.
He's going to be the fourth option.
At best, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, behind, I assume, Drew Holiday is going to be the third now with Chris Middleton. And then, of course, Giannis Antetokounmpo. News will be coming in fast and furious through the next 3-4 days. Shoot, maybe all the way till Thanksgiving. You could be sitting down having your turkey and your stuffing and your apple pie and pumpkin pie and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, not a pie guy.
Neither am I. I think pies are gross, especially pumpkin pie. If you have apple pie, that's fine. Throw some ice cream on top. I'll roll with it.
Now we're getting out of hand. But okay.
Pumpkin pie is trash. What, you don't like apple pie?
Only apple pie I like is from McDonald's.
I have no clue what to do with that.
That's it.
I'm floored. That's not even an apple pie. That's like a...
What is it? What they call it?
It's like a hash brown with apples in it. Like,
apple pie is what it's on the menu as. That's what they call it apple pie? I'm going to call it apple pie.
Yeah, that's fine. It's also called a chicken nugget on the menu, too. Like, you want to get into what exactly that is?
No, I want to still enjoy it. No.
Anyway, the point, if you've taken nothing away from today's show, it's that pie's trash. That's basically what we're saying.
Agreed.
In my philosophy with dessert is very simple. If it doesn't have chocolate in it, it's not dessert. Like, it's like it's something else.
I need to get you some of my mom's lemon cake.
Bomb. Lemon? No.
Bomb.
I'm not.
You'll have some.
I love, God bless Cheryl from Elk Grove. Lemon?
That's really the only dessert I eat. That, and then when Jazz makes yellow cake with chocolate icing. That's really all I, like, if I do have dessert, I'm not a huge dessert guy. If I do have it, it's like one of those two.
I don't want anything that's in my green juice in my dessert. And no, there's lemon in my green juice.
This is it. Okay. This is it.
Is there any chocolate in the lemon pie? Because,
if you want, we can go that route. I don't think that would taste good.
I don't think that would taste good. But we can go that route.
But you never know. Chocolate-covered strawberries are really good.
So what's that got to do with lemon?
I would not normally put chocolate and lemon together. But also, before they start doing it, I wouldn't put chocolate and strawberries together. And that turned out to be really good. That's my point. Maybe chocolate and lemon is pretty good.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not. Like, there's no way it is.
Okay. I thought the same thing about chocolate and strawberries.
You're welcome to try it and report after the Thanksgiving holiday, if you'd like. You can ruin Cheryl from Elk Grove's lemon cake.
Just lemon cake.
Okay.
Bomb.
What I was getting to before this terrible, terrible, terrible detour where we learned way too much about Kenny Caraway's food taste was that Gordon Hayward and the Celtics are working to extend the deadline on Hayward to decide on his $34.2 million option.
So, wow.
I'm laughing because all I can envision is the Celtics going, wait a minute, you haven't decided you're absolutely taking that $34 million option? Yeah! Take your time. Weigh the pros. Yeah. Weigh the cons. You've got all day, buddy. Take your time.
It'd be one of those things where they're like, you know, to be honest with you, man, if it's this hard of a decision, go with your gut. Like, if your gut's telling you not to take it, then that's probably where you should go.
The fact that Gordon Hayward didn't opt in like 3 months ago is a small miracle. Like, I would – And I imagine I'm being sarcastic. Gordon Hayward seems to have never fit on the Boston Celtics. No. I don't know why.
I don't think he wants to be there anymore either.
Well, it's because I don't think he has a real role there anymore, at least not the role that he thought he would when he signed there as their marquee free agent several years ago. Unfortunately, 5 minutes into the year, everything got derailed for him. The team was absolutely incredible that year, and he never really... You know, I think one of the big knocks on Brad Stevens was the following year. He really tried to force Gordon Hayward in there, and it wasn't working. It wasn't working for the team. It wasn't working for Gordon Hayward. It wasn't working for anybody before Brad Stevens finally had to pull back on that. So he's never been able to find his place there. I know Kings fans get upset. Like, Gordon, I would take Gordon Hayward in Sacramento in a freaking heartbeat. In an absolute heartbeat, I would take him here.
Well, I mean, to say in a heartbeat, that's a little aggressive.
I said me. I would.
Well,
I would
I have
take
to evaluate what you said, Damien. That's my job. You say something, I need to evaluate it.
And then you determine that that's the right call, that in a heartbeat we could have Gordon Hayward here, right? With two heartbeats? Do you need it? Do you want us to extend the deadline on you thinking about Gordon Hayward like the Celtics did?
Right. Look, I think Hayward would be a good fit in every way here in Sacramento. I don't know what he has left as a basketball player. That's my concern.
Really?
Yeah.
I let me see him in a different uniform. Let me see him out of you know, not that the Celtics are a pristine organization. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't fit there anymore. He fit there when he signed there, but his injury led to an accelerated development of all of the young, incredibly talented players that they have. Kyrie Irving going out the final stretch of the season. That team made the Eastern Conference Finals, which is just phenomenal to think about. They say this is a big rich town. I just come from the postcard. Hey, man, we know it's NBA time. We know free agency is coming up on Friday. We know we've got an 8-hour draft show, 12 to 8, coming up tomorrow here on ESPN 1320. We know we've got NBA news flying in fast and furious, but it's Tuesday, baby. Got to give our prestigious power rankings. And this was a little tough this week. There were some teams I really wanted to put in there and couldn't.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way.
Do you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I went first last week, so I'm going to let you go first this week.
Okay, I'll go first. Plus, you've got two power rankings to give.
Do we have the
latest update on the next 49ers quarterback power rankings?
Ready to go. And I have a little breaking news for those of you that want the 49ers to use their first-round pick on a quarterback.
Okay. Buffalo, Arizona, Indianapolis did not make.
Wow.
My
you said Arizona
rankings.
Didn't make it?
They did not, and I wanted to, but I couldn't put them over Green Bay, who I dropped down to number 5. I dropped the Green Bay Packers down to number 5. I you know, getting this deep into the season, it plays into consistency, and it plays also like, okay, what have you seen that you really believe? Mm-hmm. And the Packers, I just can't wrap my arms around them.
Nobody
can't
can
do it. But it would have been disingenuous, I think, to put Arizona above them. I still think Green Bay is better. I really, really like Arizona. Indianapolis, I couldn't work in there. So I went Green Bay number 5. I went Tampa Bay number 4. I had to keep New Orleans above them because they beat them up on Sunday Night Football a couple of nights ago. I know the Saints weren't particularly impressive against the 49ers, but I credit the 49ers defense more than anything else in terms of the way that the Saints played that game. So I got Green Bay at number 5, Tampa Bay at number 4, New Orleans at number 3. At number 2, I went with the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers.
Whoa.
And that's just because I don't think there's a better football team in the NFL than the Kansas City Chiefs.
I can't be mad at that, man.
I think Kansas City, right now, if you told me week 10, you have to place a bet on the Super Bowl, you have no choice, I'm placing my bet on the Kansas City Chiefs to win.
That's understandable. I don't have any issue with that. I'm going to give you my power rankings here, all right? And this was so close. This was so close. I actually originally had this team written in, but I have to take them out because it's because I forgot about a team.
Okay.
So the number 5 team in my power rankings is the Green Bay Packers. They weren't ranked last week. They weren't in my rankings last week. They're number five. They just barely edged out the Arizona Cardinals. Just barely. I almost put them in my top five, Damien. Look, wow. I'm not a hater. I'm not a hater. Right?
I like it. I appreciate it.
Almost edging. The team that I forgot was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're number four. So
they quietly beat the crap out of somebody this week. I don't even remember
Carolina.
Who it was.
They were down I think they were down 17-10 or maybe 17-7 or something, and they ended up with 46.
They were down when we were doing the pre-show.
Yeah, yeah. I think they scored 30-something in the second half.
By the time the post-show went on the air,
it was lights out. So they're the number four team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Number three, this was tough, but I kept them here at number three, New Orleans. I wasn't impressed on Sunday. I wasn't impressed, all right? But they're number three. I think their defense, I said that they – the Niners, it was a winnable game or whatever, and it was. The Saints' defense is a little better than maybe I'm giving it credit for. They're starting to come around and starting to play some good football. Quan Alexander made some plays. He could be a big addition for them. So they're number
really
three.
Could. Yeah.
Number two, Kansas City Chiefs still. I had them number two last week. And number one, Pittsburgh Steelers. But I have no qualms about putting the Chiefs at number one like you did, Damien. I mean, I kind of feel the same way. If I had to put my money on it, the safer money, in my opinion, is to go with Kansas City. So I understand that.
It's not a knock on the Steelers at all. I mean, it's 1A and 1B. Like, the Steelers have been really just extraordinary. If you lined up NFL storylines through the year before the season started, you couldn't have created a storyline where I would have thought the Pittsburgh Steelers would have been 9-0 10 weeks into the season. Like, I just wouldn't have bought that at all. It wouldn't have made sense to me. But here they are. They've got the Jaguars this week. The Jaguars are 1-8. Mike Tomlin, you know how he is. He has not taken that team lightly whatsoever. And, of course, Kansas City, they're in Las Vegas taking on the only team that has beat them this year, amazingly enough. The very quiet, by the way, 6-3, which is saying something. The fact that you have their head coach who is just, you know, the national media's darling. The fact that this team is quietly 6-3 and playing the way that they are is pretty impressive. So that's the Sunday night matchup this week.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be one to check out for sure. Andy Reid, he's pissed off. You know, the Chiefs are going to be pissed off. So I want to check that out.
I think John Gruden is pissed off, too. We'll have that sound for you here in just a minute. Do you want to tease the quarterback rankings through the commercial break? We've got about 1 minute. Do you want to have the everybody, 49er fans, hanging on the edge of their seats waiting for KC's next 49ers quarterback power rankings?
Yeah, we're going to do that on the other side.
We're going to do that on the other side because I'm going to make some people happy.
I'm gonna give some people some really good news. I'm going to make some people happy in 49er land.
Plus, we'll talk more about the Kings. We'll talk more about Bogdan Bogdanovic. We'll talk more about what's next. Plus, is the NBA willing to acknowledge that the Supermax doesn't work? We'll explain. You could jump in as well. 916-349-1320. It's D'Lo and KC here on Sacramento's home of Kings Talk all season long, ESPN 1320.
D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC continues on ESPN 1320.
Our man Matt wrote, the best part of D'Lo and KC is at least once per show, I am K. Diddy says something that leads to a minimum of 5 seconds of air.
Facts.
Because you can feel Damien Barlin glaring at him through the radio.
He just glares or turns away. It's either one.
Oh, man, because you normally got that Kevin Hart look on your face. You got the Kevin Hart meme. You got the Kevin Hart meme there whenever you drop something. Hey, before we get back into the NBA, before we get back into all things Kings related, 916-349-1320, by the way, is the phone number. You've got KC's latest next 49ers quarterback power rankings. But you said there was some breaking news here.
Yeah, a little breaking news. I mean, we don't need no sounder or nothing like that, and nothing set in stone, but a little breaking news. I did a little research, right? So first of all, let's go through the power rankings, right? So they didn't change at all because there was a lot of guys on buys or canceled games or whatever the case may be.
Most of them were canceled, but it's okay.
Yeah, right? So they didn't change.
Are you still holding on to this college football season like it matters?
They're in week 12.
Okay. I'm not. They're in week 12. You know what Wisconsin's record is?
What, 3-0?
2-0. And they've got the biggest game of the Big Ten this weekend against the Ohio State University.
No, that's just, Indiana.
It's got Ohio State. Isn't it Wisconsin and Ohio State this weekend?
The surprising Indiana Hoosiers, number 9 in the nation.
The team that beat the brakes off. Oh, never mind.
Who didn't beat the brakes off of Michigan this year?
Good point. Good
Minnesota, point. That's about it. But no, so the power rankings, the college football quarterback power rankings, actually didn't change. Number one, you got Zach Wilson. He was on a bye. They play this week. You want to talk about records. BYU is 8-0. They're playing the 0-3 North Alabama. I don't even know what they are. But anyway, you can catch that out. 12 p.m. ESPN3. This is a guy.
I'm sorry, which ESPN is it on?
ESPN 300. That's what it's on.
Oh,
you got to have ESPN plus to be able to get this one right here. Number two, this was actually a little bit of a statement right here. He didn't move up, but Kyle Trask.
Oh,
last week, 23 of 29, 356, 6 touchdowns versus Arkansas. I think they put up 63 or something in that game. I like Kyle Trask. I like what I'm seeing from that boy. He can play. Real quick, is that Amy Trask's son?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think so. No.
I don't know. We got to get on that, figure it out. But they play Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's like 0-6 or something like that. At 9 a.m. on ESPN, if you want to check him out. He might go for another 400 yards, 5 touchdowns in that game. So check him out. Mac Jones, their game was canceled against LSU. They're supposed to play against Kentucky, 1 p.m. on the SEC Network. I gotta let you guys know where you can check him out. SEC Network, he's number 3. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, he did play. And he wasn't that impressive. 14 of 26, 196 yards, 3 touchdowns, and a win against Cal for UCLA. He plays number 11, Oregon, this week. And Damian, they don't know what time or what channel that game is going to be on yet. Yeah, so
to be determined.
We don't know what time they're playing.
Obviously, they're
what
banking on a big audience for that one.
Yeah.
Kyle Trask is very much not related to Amy Trask, and I needed to triple check this, but I don't believe there's a chance in hell that Amy Trask would let her son go to Florida. He very much would be at Cal.
I don't
Cal
know why I thought that. I mean, literally because of the last name. But
of course, that's
I don't know why. Just like, is that Amy Trask?
That's fine. I thought Ohio State was playing Wisconsin this weekend, so they're playing another Big Ten. Yeah, Indiana suddenly is a Big Ten powerhouse. And I can't believe I'm talking about this as if I care, but there's only a couple of games left before Ohio State winds up being the best team in college football and winds up going into the college football playoff and winning it.
Well, you might have to get past Northwestern too. Another powerhouse in the Big Ten.
They're certainly
like 3 or 4-0.
They got I guess if they're in the Big Ten championship on. This is what I don't understand.
Suck them in. Suck them in college football. Go ahead and suck them in.
I can't do it. December 12th is Ohio State Michigan. Isn't that the same day as the college football playoff committee?
Maybe I thought they were
this, dude.
I thought they got the Big Ten season in so the championship would be like the day before the committee.
Okay,
I thought
so
they got it.
Maybe it's the week
Pac-12
after,
is the one that they're out of.
They're
it.
Like 2 weeks after.
Yeah, right.
They're a disaster.
So
I think
that.
I think you're really falling for Kyle Trask. By the way,
I am. I can't lie. I am number 5. By the way, is Sam Ellinger. He had a bye last week. He's in danger of falling out. Like, I wasn't impressed with him last time, but he's on there right now. But you're right. Kyle Trask, that boy, he's slinging that rock. He's slinging that rock. But here's the good news.
Okay.
Here's the good news. I did my research.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a mock draft, and I already told you guys, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, not on this list, right? Because Niners have no shot.
Yeah.
As of right now, the Niners are at number 12 with their pick.
Okay.
I went to a mock. I was going down. I said, Zach Wilson at number 4. I was like, see, you people need to stop with this. They're not getting a quarterback. All the quarterbacks are going, like, in the top 10, right? Like, get away from me.
I told you, that's exactly what's going
to
happen.
Yeah. So I was like, stop. You guys need to cut this out. So I go down some more. I'm like, where's the cornerbacks? Because, you know, yesterday I said I wanted me a Jalen Ramsey. So I was going down. Somebody's getting a quarterback or cornerback at number 6 and then number 8. Then they get an edge rusher. And then I get to the Niners at number 12. Trey Lance projected to still be there at number 12.
Okay.
So all this talk that I've made about not having a quarterback available when you pick, there's at least, I saw two different mocks. They didn't have him taken in both of them, but he was around. Trey Lance, who people love, who people are saying is that dude, projected to possibly still be around when the Niners pick.
Hypothetically, Trey Lance is around, but you've got your eye on the shutdown corner. You've got your eye on where you go.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you this. The two guys that I'm
GM
looking at.
GM Caraway, where you go? What do you do? Come on, man. Clock's ticking.
The two guys
Goodell
that I'm looking at.
By the fireplace. At the he's corner. Getting ready to announce the next pick.
the fireplace.
Yeah, because he ain't going to be in Las Vegas or wherever the hell they said it was. He's going to be at his fireplace again.
Oh, man. Hey, look, but when they do go to Las Vegas and everything's okay, D-Lo and KC got to go there. We got to find every excuse, or at least I find every excuse to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah,
so when they have the draft in Vegas, oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
I just love that you think everything's going to be okay one day. I've pretty much given up hope. Like, I'm just we're going to be watching. What?
I didn't say we could be 5 years into D'Lo and KC. That could be the case. But one day we'll get there.
I want to see if Adam Silver wears like a sweater, like a knitted sweater when he announces the picks.
Like a
cardigan.
Yeah, a cardigan or maybe even a Biggie Smalls, like the Coogi sweater, maybe something like that.
I don't think Adam's going to do that. Like, I've seen Adam wear cargo pants. Like, I don't think he's going to rock a sweater. Like, I imagine he's going to be in a suit. Like, where is he going to be? Is he going to be at the Turner Studios? Is he going to be in front of his fireplace? Is it going to be a Zoom? Like, what is it's going to be, like, in addition to the 8-hour D'Lo and KC show tomorrow, this is going to be a first go-around for all of us. It'll be interesting. But
yeah, no, I can't wait to see how this plays out. You know I'm all for the virtual draft. I love what the NFL did, so I want to see this again. But you asked me, would I take my Jalen Ramsey clone or Trey Lance? The two guys that I was really looking at, they got Surtain from Alabama, and I forgot the other dude from Virginia Tech. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I still got to dive in. But these are the two guys that I was looking at. According to the mock that I saw, they're off the board, so I can't get my Jalen Ramsey type. Damn. Maybe I do take Trey Lance at number, with my first round pick if he's there. Like
that.
I said, my whole thing was I didn't think they were going to be there, right? I didn't think any of those four would be there. So don't waste your time. Don't reach for, say, a Kyle Trask at number 15 when you could probably get him in the second round. But if Trey Lance is there and your cornerbacks are gone, man, maybe. So all those people that want Jimmy gone, that want him to take a quarterback in the first round and all this other stuff, a couple of mocks have a quarterback there for you at around 12 or 13.
Caleb Farley is the Virginia Tech corner.
Yeah, Farley. Yeah.
You're listening to D'Lo.
He opted out of the season.
And that's something I forgot about. A lot of college players opted out. I mean, you know, there are a couple of pretty big names that opted out.
Big-time wide receiver out of LSU did that.
This all centers on this is the Trevor Lawrence draft. That's all that this is.
And the Jets will have them.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Because nobody's going winless but them.
Well, I'm not going to argue that anymore. I absolutely saw them throw a game against the New England Patriots, so I'm not going to argue you anymore. You're listening to D'Lo and KC on KIFM West Sacramento, a radio.com sports station, and driven by Lashers Elk Grove Dodge. He's Kenny Caraway. I'm Damon Barling. We're so happy that you're here with us. Bogdan Bogdanovich no longer is. He is in Milwaukee. Dante DiVincenzo, DJ Wilson, and Ilya Sover, they are on their way here to Sacramento when this trade can be completed in just a couple of days. The first move of the Monty McNair front office has been made. What will happen tomorrow when the Kings draft right now, set to be at number 12? What will happen when they draft, I believe, half of the second round? They've got all sorts. I did read an interesting note following up on the Milwaukee Bucks. Is there's a belief, based on the amount of salary cap that the Milwaukee Bucks have available, is that they're going to be shopping for second-round picks. So the Bucks and Kings might not be done dealing here. Mm-hmm. As the Kings, obviously, they have quite a few second-round picks. Of course, we will bring you the number 12 pick. We'll bring you the first 12 picks. Here's the structure of tomorrow's show, by the way. From 12 to 2, D'Lo and KC will be on just a normal edition to D'Lo and KC. At 2 o'clock, we're going to switch gears. We're diving into NBA mode. We're diving into Kings mode. And we are diving into draft mode. At 4 o'clock, we'll start airing the picks live. We'll give you our reactions to those picks. We'll give you our, analysts. We determined that I am Reese Davis. Kenny Caraway is going to be Fran Fraschilla. I don't know why, of all of the people, you picked Fran Fraschilla, but that was the name that you went with, so that's the one we're going to go with.
Maybe Jalen Rose.
That works. That makes a little bit more sense, as I think Jalen Rose would probably drop a paid in full reference. I don't think Fran Fraschilla would. And we'll have all of the picks for you all the way up until 12. And then once the Kings make their selection, we'll dive into the Sacramento Kings. We're going to have – it's been difficult – like trying to figure out how to book guests for the show, because we don't know exactly what time the Kings are going to select, and we want to have certain people on. We know that Jason Jones is going to be with us tomorrow. We know there's a slate of people from the Kings Herald that are going to be with us tomorrow. They're going to be our analyst for the pick leading into the selection, and then, of course, coming out of the selection. So if you want to hear Kings Talk tomorrow, if you want to talk Kings Talk tomorrow, we have got you covered from 12 o'clock all the way until 8. We will be locked in for you 8 hours here of NBA coverage, of draft coverage, and of Sacramento Kings coverage here on ESPN 1320. So make your plans to be with us. And Bogdan Bogdanovic, Dante DiVincenzo, that was the first chess move. Hopefully this is a chess move for Monty McNair in this front office. There is other NBA news and notes out there. As we all know, Jrue Holiday also with the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks are in clear, let's surround Giannis Antetokounmpo with everything we can. Let's show Giannis Antetokounmpo we are committed to winning an NBA championship. Let's show Giannis Antetokounmpo we are committed to him, and we are committed to winning, and we want him to sign this Supermax. We want him to sign this 5-year extension. Lock him in here with the foreseeable future.
Absolutely. It's the only thing to do.
It is. Because when you look around the league and you look at players, the caliber of Giannis Antetokounmpo, MVP caliber players, MVP players,
MVP,
as Giannis
multiple,
was.
Back-to-back.
And I actually forgot that, as a matter of fact, that he won the MVP this year. I actually have forgotten the whole MVP process this year. The Supermax doesn't appear to be working. The 5-year extension, we can offer you more money. We can offer you more years than everybody else. We got the Adrian Wojnarowski report yesterday that James Harden turned down a 2-year extension worth $103 million. So he has 3 years left on his deal that he signed. They offered him a 2-year extension on that. It would have put his total value, I think it was like $236, $237 million. Total, $237 million total, at about $47.2 per year for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. We've seen Kevin Durant walk away from the Oklahoma City Thunder. We saw him walk away from the Golden State Warriors. We've seen Anthony Davis. We've seen LeBron James. We've seen a lot of players of that upper echelon that the Supermax is essentially created for just kind of go, nah, I'm good. I really want to win, or I really want to have, and this I think this is the go-to line. They don't want all of that pressure. Like when you're playing, when you're Kevin Durant and it's Russell Westbrook, it's Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and the pressure is on you.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to Golden State, and I'm not one of those guys who knocks Kevin Durant for going to the Golden State Warriors, but when you go to Golden State, there's not as much pressure on you. You've got a 70-win team. They lost in the NBA Finals. You're laced with homemade superstars. Like, you're in pretty good shape, and you'll take a lot of criticism if you lose, but you don't have the same pressure on a game-to-game basis. And we saw that year how loose Kevin Durant played, and he played arguably, maybe not even arguably, his best basketball of his entire career when he was with the Golden State Warriors. But there was less pressure on him. And now mm-hmm. I think we're seeing that with James Harden wanting to go play with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant in Brooklyn.
Yeah, So here's the question I have, and I don't think you're necessarily wrong when you say the Supermax doesn't work. This is something that a lot of NBA writers talk about, and, you know, I hear about on podcasts and stuff like that. It's getting, how do you put it? Like, it's getting muddled a little bit, right? Because we never really even get to the Supermax. And what I mean by that is, who has turned down the Supermax?
Kevin Durant.
Was that a Supermax situation?
Oklahoma City.
Maybe it was. So Kevin Durant turned it down.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony Davis wasn't offered the Supermax. He got traded.
That's because he told them he was leaving.
Yeah, but he didn't get offered. They could have. He was never presented with a situation of, we don't care if you want to get traded. Here's our offer. You turn down the extra $50 million. You turn it down. Say no to it. Same thing with Kawhi. He was never offered the Supermax. He said, I'm going to leave. So it kind of put the onus on the team.
I think you're playing with logistics, though. Like, wasn't the original report with Chris Paul in the New Orleans Pelicans that the Pelicans are going to offer Anthony Davis?
Was that
Davis.
Supermax? Though? Oh, Chris Paul.
Rich Paul. The conversation is with Rich Paul in the New Orleans Pelicans. Wasn't it always, we're going to offer him the Supermax? Like, that's our plan. That's what we're going to do. And then Rich Paul, it became public. We're not accepting. You can offer it. We ain't going to sign it.
It was a game of chicken. Because they said, before we turn this down, we're going to put the onus on you to say, look, we're not going to be here. So don't even offer it. So we're not faced with the probability of saying it. Now, like you said, it could be logistics because they know the money is there regardless if they formally offer it or not, right? Mm-hmm. But, I mean, in this whole Giannis thing, I think Milwaukee is actually going to put the onus on Giannis to say, no, I'm not going to take it. Like, they're not going to do what Toronto did. They're not going to do what New Orleans did. They're not trading him. They're going to put the onus on Giannis to say, to really look at that money in the eye, if money has eyes, right? Look at it in the eye and say, I'm not taking you. I'm going to take $50 million or less.
But they all know. I don't think there's any difference between, like, the actual offer being in front of you and it not.
It may not.
Because it's like the agent can say, oh, you need to see it? Okay, here's a piece of paper. I'll write it down for you. The Milwaukee Bucks are going to pay you $200, and I don't know what the number is at this point anymore, maybe $230. Here's $230 million. This is what it looks like. This is what the contract looks like. Giannis Antetokounmpo, 5 years, $230 million. Take a look at this and say no to it. Because once you leave Milwaukee, that number becomes, gosh, what is it, like 70, 60 to $70 million less?
Yeah. We all know what it is, but see, the player and the agent always fall back on, well, we want to get out of here, and we know that if we want to get out of here, we're not going to get the max. So we'll leave, go to Miami or Los Angeles or something like that, and then it's off the table. Once you're there, like, you don't have to worry about looking at it and saying, I turned it down, if that makes any sense.
916-349-1320. Jump in on these phones with us. Big Al, what's on your mind, baby?
Well, that last comment you made, I've always heard that. My son and I have always debated that. You know, when you leave money off the table, when you have the team with your rights owning it, and obviously can give you the super, quote-unquote, super max. And I just say this economically, going back and researching, say, last 8-9 years. Sadly, you come to a market like L.A., New York, Chicago, I don't know, Miami, lesser degree, you can make up $75, $80 million just on endorsement deals alone.
See, I hear that garbage all the time, and that's not true. That is such trash. Name a handful. Name one non-shoe deal that's $80 million.
Oh, okay. You threw in shoe. Yeah.
Name one. Not because you're going to get a shoe deal no matter where you are. Name one non-shoe deal that's $80 million.
Yeah. Okay. LeBron's movie company. That's how you're going to get it.
Yeah. Okay.
You're going to get it through LeBron.
LeBron is the measuring stick here for the rest of the NBA?
No, he happens to have a good capital market structure in the Tinseltown, so to speak.
Do you think Giannis has
that? Come on now, just calm down. Don't be a hater. Just don't calm down. But you have to let him know, Big Al. Yeah. You have to acknowledge though that the mega market just seemed to have the ability to have an additional. You can say endorsements, whatever you want. You can have people that are, you know, at a car lot paying you more than you're going to get in Milwaukee. Good North. The only thing you're going to get in Milwaukee is kielbasa and sauerkraut contracts. That's what you're going to get in Milwaukee.
Cheese, maybe. So, cheese.
Well, but you're also going to get the fifth year and an extra $70 million, so you don't need to do the bratwurst and sauerkraut commercial.
Yeah, I don't think Giannis, anyway, by the way, is a sauerkraut bratwurst guy, knowing a little bit of his heritage. Anyway, I called. You know, I have nothing to give you the Lakers. The Lakers are done, so you have to worry about that. I looked at the Kings picks. I want your take on that. You know, I like Williams from Florida State. I think for the Kings, he'd be a good match. I don't like the guy, and I can't even remember his name. I looked at him. I said, what? He got hurt. The kid from Vanderbilt. I thought, what? Get out of here. No. That's another... That's a VVAC pick. Hey, let's get Stauskas. Oh yeah, he's a great shooter. What a dude. Man, that can just butt.
Big Al is hot today.
Sorry, but jeez. You know,
He's keeping it a stack.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's sad for Sacramento Kings fan. There's been some really horrid picks over the last 6-7 years. They have just bad picks. It's sad.
Well, it's
unfair to call Marvin Bagley a bad pick.
It's not fair to call Stauskas a bad pick.
No, Marvin Bagley.
Oh no, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, the only way he becomes a bad pick is if his body does not hold up for whatever reason for the next, let's say, 3-4 years.
Fair.
Then it becomes
absolutely
a bad
fair.
Pick. You would go back. You're old enough. I know, man. You're old enough. You go back and said. Now I could have said that. I told my dear Kentucky loving dad. I said, Dad, Sam Bowie won't make it 4 years in the league. And
I'm not that old, Big Al. Big Al, I was 1 year old. Not that old.
Okay, then you're young. Then go back and look at that, because he was a beautiful player in college, but you take a look at his high school and college, he had to miss a lot of games. He just had that. Same as, you know, you could say the same about, did Bill Walton have a great NBA career? At times he did, but you know how many years he really lost because of those horrible arthritic knees? Mm. He could have played another 5-6 years, but he just was a basket case at the end. Just terrible. So that happened. So I like Bagley. I like his game. I generally don't like Duke players, though. I haven't. Grant Hill, still, to my opinion, is maybe one of the greatest, or if not the greatest, because look at his time frame. And he had injuries, but he was a tremendous player.
Absolutely.
Just a fantastic player. Yeah.
So anyway, I hope
the Lakers won't have a pick. We're going to get the fine German. The German has come to my hometown now, so we are going to have
a bad boy. Nice. That's a bad boy.
Dennis Schroeder is a bad man. He's a bad. Yeah. He likes the bratwurst. I guarantee you. Dennis likes it.
All right.
And the sports. And the sports involved.
All right. Goodbye, Big Al.
Appreciate you, Big Al.
I love Dennis Schroeder, by the way. Like, I'm a huge fan of his.
I do love Dennis Schroeder, too. I wish that, you know, I had hair so I could, you know, get a little dye on a high flat top, you know, like my man Dennis. But
he's got a dope style.
I do want to continue this talk, though, about the Supermax, because I know Big Al was kind of giving it to you a little bit. He was kind of giving it to you, but I tend to agree.
He wasn't giving me nothing, man. His explanation was stupid.
Yeah, he was giving it to you, Damien. He was giving it to you. Yeah. Big Al won that round. That was 10-9. It wasn't 10-8, but he won that one. You know what I'm saying? But, I do understand where you're coming from, though. Because I think the world, the way it is now, you can be in Milwaukee. Giannis is one of the biggest stars in the world. He's one of the biggest stars in the world, period. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody knows who Giannis is that has anything to do with sports. He's not going to get any bigger going to L.A. or Miami. He's got a signature shoe line that pays him handsomely. Like, Luka Doncic is in Dallas. Dallas is a big market, but Dallas ain't Houston, right? Dallas is probably top 10, top 15. Luka Doncic is one of the most famous people in the game.
So can I we'll continue this conversation. All right, we'll continue the Supermax conversation, 916-349-1320. Can I give you at least two of the most recent names to sign a Supermax? And I just want these two names to sit in your head while we go to break.
Okay.
I could see your brain turning as you're thinking about them. You ready? You ready for you want another argument as to why the Supermax might not be working?
What we got?
Chris Paul. Think about this. Chris Paul signed one. You know who else did? Russell Westbrook the third. We'll be back with more here.
I'll tell you why it works on the other side.
Okay. The other side. Great. We'll be back on the other side. CSPN 1320.
Now, back to D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC on ESPN 1320.
Make sure that you're locked in with us tomorrow at 12 o'clock. We'll be with you from 12 to 8. We encourage you to listen to us for all 8 hours. I promise you will not be sick of us. There's no way you could be possibly tired of us after 8 hours of radio. Make sure you download the radio.com app if you're not able to be around your television, if you don't want to miss any Kings draft analyst stuff. We have got you covered again. 12 to 8, we'll have our regular show from 12 to 2. Then we'll be diving in Kings Talk from 2 to 4. And then we'll have draft coverage from 4 to 8. So make sure that you are with us. My partner on the Sacramento Kings podcast, Jill Adge, is tweeting about this. We probably should have clarified this a little bit earlier when we were talking about that tweet from Zach Lowe about the Celtics and Gordon Hayward trying to come to an agreement on pushing back the deadline for him opting in or opting out. That almost certainly means the Boston Celtics are in trade talks to move Gordon Hayward somewhere so they don't just lose him for nothing. So we'll keep an eye on when Gordon Hayward becomes a member of the Sacramento Kings. Hopefully it's here shortly. That was just a joke, by the way.
Did Gordon Hayward turn down a Supermax?
From Utah, good question.
Or was he never offered a Supermax?
I don't know. I don't know that he was eligible for it.
Maybe that's what it was.
I mean, he was really, really good, but was he eligible for the Supermax? That's a good question that we're going to have to look up.
Because the qualifications for the Supermaxes are like all NBA.
Like all NBA or MVP. There's some qualifications
to it. If that's the case,
I
don't think he was eligible for it.
I mean, you know, there's, you know, DeMarcus was never offered it. Like, he was traded before, you know, it
DeMarcus was going to sign it, too, by the way.
Oh, my God. Of course he was going to sign it. Like, he absolutely, no question about it, was going to sign it. Like, how much money, with that extension never being offered, like, he has likely lost in real dollars $190 million? $95 million?
I was about to say around $2 million.
$200 million.
$200 million.
Yeah, he lost an extraordinary amount of money by that not playing out. He and Isaiah Thomas lost quite a bit too, not nearly as much as DeMarcus Cousins did. Jesse reports to us, our technician in the studio, Gordon Hayward missed the chance to get a Supermax because he didn't make an all-NBA team. So that's what ultimately
that sounds about right.
Was his demise there. But so do you want to – I gave you a couple of names to digest as we went to commercial break, as we were talking about this potential Supermax not working. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are guys who have signed it. But my goodness, how much is Chris Paul – like Chris Paul's biggest knock, it's not him as a player anymore. It's the amount of money that he makes for the production that he gives. Russell Westbrook, 27-7-8. Some of y'all talk like he is washed. But the issue is he makes $41 million a year. 27-7-8 sure feels like a $41 million is an adequate, like an appropriate contract for him. Mm-hmm. But somehow, I guess, after you average a triple-double 3 years in a row – That you're washed or trashed somehow, but
come on, man.
Those are the knocks. Those are the knocks. Are their contracts?
So
super max contracts, because to come full circle, Kenny, the super max isn't working.
So as we come full circle, and you're strengthening my point here, because I don't know if that's my point, because I'm not sure that it works, right? I'm not sitting here saying full-heartedly that I disagree with you, but we just mentioned it 20 seconds ago. DeMarcus Cousins was going to sign the Supermax. Mm-hmm. And the Supermax was essentially made for your Milwaukees, your Sacramentos, your New Orleans, your Charlottes, things of that nature. He was going to sign it. Like, He was going to sign. If Giannis signs it, those like two areas that are, it's really made for would have worked for. Now, it's all player to player. So to say that it doesn't work kind of implies that it never works on my end. Like that's what I take from it, to say that it never works. But here's also where it works, because you mentioned Chris Paul and you mentioned Russell Westbrook. They signed it, correct?
Yeah, so did John Wall. But go ahead. Go ahead. Y'all go ahead. Don't mind me. Don't mind me. Go ahead.
So they signed it, Russell and Chris Paul. Are they with the teams that they signed it with?
Neither one of them are.
That's right. So that allows you to play a scenario where everybody can get what they want. You can sign the contract if you're a player and get your money.
But is that what this is supposed to do? Is that what the Supermax is supposed to do? The Supermax was designed to keep Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. The Supermax was designed to keep Kevin Durant in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and Russell...
Kevin Durant
Russell,
on two
Russell
teams.
Asked, Russell asked for a trade. Eligible. Chris was going to stay. Chris would have stayed. He didn't ask out of Houston. Houston made that decision.
Yep, that's true.
So I think... That's true. I think as we work through this, because to take you behind the curtain, we talked about this before the show, and I was like, yeah, they got to do something, because I agree with Damian. But the more you think about it, I don't think it's something that you could put a blanket statement on to say it doesn't work, because it's all case by case, and there are cases where it would have worked.
Well, yeah, because now I've got all sorts of names running through my head. Like, did Bradley Beal's deal was the super? Did he sign a Supermax?
I think so.
Okay.
Because I feel like he's an All-NBA player.
Did Blake Griffin sign a Supermax and then get traded like an hour later to Detroit?
Oof. It's a possibility.
Okay.
That's a possibility.
I don't know. Maybe Blake didn't sign a Supermax. Maybe he just signed a big contract.
But
extension.
I feel like he was All-NBA at one point.
Oh, he certainly
so
was.
So he would have been eligible.
Eligible.
What was Kimball Walker's deal?
Because I was just thinking about him a second ago. I don't remember if Kemba was eligible or not.
Yeah.
But Charlotte, that's a team that's supposed to, and it wasn't even Kemba who was like, I don't want it from Charlotte. It was Charlotte.
Right.
It was
so
like,
that's what I was about to ask
Supermax
you.
Player.
I can't remember. I think Kemba, given the opportunity, would have stayed. I think, to
Kemba,
your point...
I think Kemba cried. Remember when he thought he was traded? Wasn't that Kemba that, like, shed tears
about being
traded?
Yeah, I do remember
traded?
That. I think he would have stayed. So, to your point, I think this thing is getting kind of flipped around, right? We look at it as it doesn't work because the players still don't want to stay. I think it might not work because the franchises... We have two instances here. The Kings and the Hornets. Where they say, you know what? I don't think I want to commit.
Well,
I don't want to do that.
There's a third. Blake Griffin signed this deal and then was it immediately traded. Like he was I think he was traded on the first day he was allowed to be.
Yeah.
They got him out of there quick.
Right. So as we work through this thing on air, we have an open conversation. You may be right, partner, but not for the reasons that we originally thought.
All that
we
matters
thought it was
is
the
that
players.
I'm right. Nothing else matters other than
if I were you, I'd take
this
that.
Is sports
I'd
talk
take that.
Radio.
I'd do the same thing. You're right.
all that matters in sports talk radio is being right.
It don't matter
and being
how
wrong.
We got there. It matters. The destination is what matters.
If Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman have taught us anything, it's that the guy who says he's rather have Andre Iguodala take a game-winning shot over Steph Curry.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
You've got to be right.
Iguodala. I started cracking up.
I'll take Andre Iguodala. Like,
I started cracking up. So definitive.
Almost
Iguodala.
Like, man, Max. Max turned heel at one point, man. Like a couple years ago. Yeah, like he was talking about the De'Aaron Fox. He told De'Aaron Fox to his face, "I can't wait till you come play for the Lakers." Right. De'Aaron shut that crap down quick. Man, Max used to be the baby face. Like he just like morphed into Hollywood Hogan right before our eyes.
Roman Reigns out here.
Yeah, man.
I think it's the franchises.
We can dissect the problem all we want to. You know, mm-hmm. as we look at what's going on with James Harden, and we can talk about Jrue Holiday and Bogdan Bogdanovic and all of these moves that the Milwaukee Bucks are trying to make to appease Giannis, to show Giannis Antetokounmpo, hey, look. look what we've got here. We want you here for a very long time. We could dissect all of this. The fact of the matter is, I don't know what the solution is. Like, if the Supermax really isn't working, if it's not working for the player, if it's really not incentivizing players to stay in small markets, because it's one thing for Blake Griffin to sign a Supermax in Los Angeles, and then Los Angeles go, never mind. Mm-hmm. Like, we're good. Los Angeles is going to recover, as we've seen. I don't know what the fix is. Like, I don't even know if this is something you fix. I maybe it's just something that it's out there, and ultimately, you know, a player is going to sign a Supermax and almost certainly will not be on that same team when that Supermax contract is up.
So when we originally brought this up, we all assumed that the problem was the player, right? And we were like, oh, that's an easy fix. You got to give the team some type of compensation for losing these players. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're Milwaukee, you got to say, hey, Miami, if you sign Giannis, you're giving up a first-round pick, you know, as compensation, like they do in Major League Baseball and NFL. And that seemed like a simple solution. But now that we have worked through this problem and we've figured it out and we figure that it's the franchises that are the problem, I don't know what you do about that, because the franchise should not be rewarded with a draft pick for deciding not to keep a DeMarcus Cousins or not to keep a Kemba Walker. So I don't know what you do there.
I'm trying. I mean, there are. Okay, so I feel like now I've got to be more fair to this because I've been riling on these Supermax contracts. James Harden signed one. He was just offered two more years on it. Mm-hmm. He's not looking to add to the 3 years he already has left, and he's looking to be moved. So he won't see the end of his Supermax contract. Here's a question for you. I think there's one player just off the top of my head. Do you think John Wall sees the end of his Supermax contract in Washington? Basically, what I'm asking you is John Wall's contract even remotely movable?
It is, and I'll tell you why. As long as they have Bradley Beal. Because if somebody wants Bradley Beal enough, they can say you have to take Wall.
They ain't going to take, but no way. No freaking way. No way.
I'm gonna ask you
Beal
this.
Wouldn't allow it. He'd be I retire.
I'll ask you this. If everything that we're hearing about Brooklyn, if Brooklyn created the cap space to do it, do you think they would take Bradley Beal if they had to take Wall's contract?
I don't even think that's mathematically possible, but
I think they would do it. Absolutely. There's somebody out there that if you can, they will.
You'd literally be signing nothing but second round picks.
I really believe there's going to be a team that if they can do it, they will do it.
Oh, I don't think so. That's crazy. That's wow. Okay.
Is it that crazy?
It is crazy.
It's crazy to do it now.
And John Wall?
But say 2 years from now.
Where John Wall's even older?
but
then there's a year left on his deal? Sure.
So that's what I'm saying. That's where I take pause when I say.
So you're really only taking it for a year. And at that point, you're telling them, like, look, we're trying to acquire Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal will probably have to sign an extension by that point. But we're acquiring Bradley Beal. John Wall, what is it? $41 million? Cool. You got it. Just stay home. We don't even.
Luau Deng.
Here's your $41 million, man. Go on about your. Not 44. $41 million. Here's your $47 million. That $47 million that John Wall is due in 2022-23 is a player option. I can tell you, he's already opting in to that year.
Him and Nicholas Batum. They're just living life. Nicholas Batum opted in to $27 million the other day.
There's one player, again, this is immediately off the top of my head, who has signed a max contract that's going to see the end of it and will likely sign an extension. Mm. Not likely, almost, will absolutely sign an extension. And it's Steph Curry.
A lot of people in the Bay Area think Steph might leave for Charlotte one day.
Okay, like in year 20. Steph ain't going nowhere. Steph is not leaving Golden State.
I don't think he is either. I don't think he should. But that is a real concern in the Bay Area.
Like a real concern?
By like fans and everybody. They're like, he's going to leave one day. His job is already going to be done. Like, it's not going to be like the next, you know, next year or so. But going home.
But still, like, I think he still signs the end of the, I still think he sends the,
of
he
this
sees
contract,
the end
yes,
of the
yes,
Supermax
yes, yes,
contract.
Yes, of this contract, absolutely. The other thing I wanted to mention to you, Damian, we talk about John Wall. What if John Wall can still play basketball? You were dismissing him like he is just a cripple. I've seen him play in the last recent weeks.
Yeah, you have?
Is he what he used to? No, obviously. Oh. I'm not expecting that.
I was like, wait a minute, you have?
By
like,
no
where?
Means. by no means is he what he was when he signed the contract, and he'll never be that. But that doesn't mean he can be serviceable. He was an all-star.
I understand that. But when Kevin Durant got hurt and everybody was talking about could he come back and still be KD? Mm-hmm. My feeling was always like, yeah, he could, because I think he has the work ethic. Let's use DeMarcus Cousins as an example. So we could, like, I think DeMarcus Cousins, whether he had the work ethic or not, and I have no reason to, well, I have some reason to question his work ethic, at least out on the floor. I believe he had the motivation to bring him that work ethic, and that was he had lost out on a contract, and he was going to come back, and he was going to get that. So I believe that DeMarcus was going to be able to return from his Achilles injury and be strong. How strong, like what percentage of the, 20-plus and 10-plus in Sacramento, I'm not sure, but I believe he would have been very, very good. Kevin Durant, I believe, is going to be Kevin Durant when he returns. Do you think that John Wall, whose game is like, knock on wood, if Russell Westbrook's Achilles goes, he can't be Russell Westbrook anymore because his entire game is based off explosiveness. Like Kevin Durant is super finesse. Like Russ is not. John Wall is not. John Wall is not a finesse player.
Right.
So does he have the work ethic to recover, not just from an Achilles pop, but from an ACL tear?
Because
remember, he was handling both of those at the same exact time.
Right.
So, I don't think like John Wall is going to be terrible when he returns. But do I think he's going to be an all NBA player? Man, I'll eat the crow if I'm wrong. I don't think so.
I'll eat all the crows. I highly doubt you'll be wrong. He's not going to come back like that. But I only say that to say, and I fall a victim to it too. It's not you that we're just like, look, we'll take Bradley Beal, John Wall, we'll take your contract and stay home. I think you can still get something out of John Wall.
Okay.
Like if the Wizards can, and if you traded him, whoever picked him up, can John Wall, and this is crazy because I know he's making $40 million a year when it's all said and done, but can John Wall give you what Trey Burke gave the Mavericks?
I think he's better. I think John Wall would be better. I just don't think he's going to be an all-NBA player.
No, a multi-time all-NBA.
I just don't think he's going to be that.
I agree with you. Absolutely not.
And that injury takes so much. It is so freaking slow for these guys, and it takes so much to come back from. And when you're a certain type of player, it's not going to return. You know what I mean? Like, you can probably get to a certain percentage of it. I just, like I said with Russ, like, it's not going to, if something ever happened to Russ's Achilles, he wanted to continue playing, he'd have to change the style in which he played.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You've got to adapt to your new normal. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a different type of game that you're going to be playing. Does John Wall have that in him? I don't know. He's had almost 2 years to get healthy and figure out what his limitations are and where he needs to improve. Like I said, and I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, I've seen him playing in the last couple of weeks in these little open-run things. Obviously, he looks great. He's an NBA player. They're going to look good in those type of situations. But, I mean, that's got to be encouraging that he's out there on the court, able to move, able to cut, able to change directions.
Sure.
To some sense of normalcy. So,
and talking about these injuries just makes me realize how much, we've watched this with the San Francisco 49ers all year. Gosh. How much luck falls into a season. How much you need that angel of health on your shoulder. And I don't know what the Kings were last year. I don't particularly believe that they were good, healthy or not, but we don't know because we have, the absence of Marvin Bagley. We had De'Aaron in and out of the lineup. We had Bogey in and out of the lineup. We had so many things going wrong with that team all year that it's like, if you give me one thing, if the so-called basketball gods, who aren't the same as the football gods, so they're not coordinating with the football gods who have struck down the 49ers this year.
Two different gangs.
Yes. If if you could just give us one thing, could you just have everybody out there on the floor? Could we just see what this Sacramento Kings roster looks like healthy? And if they stink, they stink. At least we know. Like the Marvin Bagley question that Big Al brought up on the phone earlier, like that drives me insane because it's like we're holding on. Like we don't want to say anything bad about him because truthfully, and it's totally fair, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what Marvin Bagley is. We don't know if he's good. We don't know if he's bad. We know those are the awful, you know, stats from last year. They were like 0-10 when Bagley and De'Aaron were in the lineup together. They were like 2-14. They're just bad,
right.
Bad stats all around. Can we just get him out there on the floor? So either we can permanently sulk about not drafting Luka Doncic, or we can move on from it. But either way, I think we can move on from it one way or another. But as long as there's a question mark hanging over Marvin Bagley, the fan base, understandably so, is never going to be able to move on from it. You can either like move on from it and be like bitter and angry, or you can move on from it and be happy because he turned out to be a really solid player.
Right.
But right now, just being a big question mark is maddening.
Yeah, I absolutely understand that. And this kind of goes back to what we were about to touch on earlier in the show about what does this mean for the Kings moving forward, the Bogey trade and the possible Buddy trade and things of that nature. And I look at it as the Kings are in a little bit of a unique situation because if they feel like they have to tear things down, and I know you like to say you can't rebuild because there's nothing to build there in the first place,
true
right?
Story.
So if they want to go that route, the way it's shaped out, it's not your typical, I'll just say rebuild for lack of a better word, right? Like, it's not your typical thing because you look at like a Cleveland, they started from the bottom, right? The bottom, and they're still at the bottom ever since LeBron left. And, you know, you take other rebuilds that just stripped it down. Well, the Kings are kind of stripping down, but you have two guys in De'Aaron Fox and Marvin Bagley that are essentially, maybe you can't say that with Fox because he's going into his fourth year, but almost with Marvin Bagley and who you get this year, like two draft picks potentially. Right. Two really Marvin Bagley's not 21 yet. He can't even drink yet. Right. So you look at like, OK, we'll take away Buddy and we'll take away Bogey or whatever the case may be. It's not like you're starting from scratch. Like you got two really young guys right there on your roster developing that you can put other young guys around and maybe accelerate the process of being a playoff team. Getting to the playoff team. Whereas if you stripped it down, just for time's sake, if you stripped it down, maybe you say, okay, the timeline is 5 years to make the playoffs. Taking the approach they're taking right now, because you have Fox and Bagley, maybe it's 2 years. Does that make any sense?
No, no, I hear you. You do. It makes sense. I'm so tired of timelines, too, though.
No. Timelines, you know, I mean? And pathways, so, I know.
Yeah, like, who's the best available player? Draft him, put him out there on the floor. Let's see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And the first move in the Monty McNair era was made late last night when Bogdan Bogdanovic was normal time for you.
For
everybody else. It was late
all
for me.
Unfold.
Bogdan Bogdanovic headed to the Milwaukee Bucks. Dante DiVincenzo on his way back here. The next step, assuming nothing happens tonight, will be tomorrow. When the NBA draft is here on ESPN 1320.
Damian Barling, Kenny Caraway, four topics, two arguments, no winners. One-on-one with D'Lo and KC.
By the way, is there a team that Buddy Hield hasn't been linked to through random Twitter reports and graphics yet? Like, apparently all you need is a graphic and a website, and you can say that Buddy Hield has been in, the Kings have been in preliminary trade discussions with, I saw Denver this morning.
Yeah.
What was the one that was circulating yesterday? Dallas? Like, who are these people that are reporting this?
I'm missing my opportunity, Damian. I'm missing my opportunity to start a rumor. Everybody, be aware, later this afternoon, I may start a rumor. I'll tell you guys a little secret. I don't have nothing.
That's the rule, though.
Let me throw a team out there. Who would it be? Toronto. That seems like a good one. Toronto.
it could be the Los Angeles Sparks. It doesn't matter. He's linked with everybody. It's gotten so ridiculous. I told
the basketball tournament.
I told Bears fan John on Twitter. Like he said, I heard Anthony Davis is considering a change of course because he tried what is that place called Chando's Tacos. And I was like, hey, make a graphic out of it, and we'll put it out there into the social media world, and it'll be legitimate. That's all it takes is a graphic and a website. Hey, we've got graphics. We've got websites. We can start our own rumors. Speaking of John, John, avert your ears, buddy. Kenny Caraway's Vikings beat the Chicago Bears.
Let's relax. Not my Vikings. I'm just saying I see something going on.
That's what I said about the Dolphins.
Those are really your Dolphins, though.
These are really your Vikings. That's the rule. Once you see something going on, that means you know who your quarterback is. Kirk Cousins. He was 0-9. That's your quarterback. He was 0-9 on Monday Night Football. Now he's 1-10. So, yay.
Good for
him. Way to go. Dude, the Bears suck. It is incredible how bad the Bears offense is. Like, everybody blamed Mitch Trubisky. Like, have y'all watched? Like,
maybe Mitch isn't garbage after all.
Maybe Matt Nagy is not good at his job. Maybe. I'm posing questions here. I don't pretend to have all of the answers. I'm just asking. I feel like there is evidence to support the theory that Matt Nagy may be really, really bad at what he does for a living.
There was a stretch in the second half. I want to say, I don't know. Because I was moving around. I didn't exactly see what happens with maybe the last two drives. But there was a stretch with like maybe about 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter where they put up a stat, and it showed that the Bears not only had not scored offensively in the second half, they hadn't recorded a first down. They had gone three and out the entire second half until like 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
I don't
really
know.
How is that possible? Even the Jets get a first down. That's god awful.
Yeah, they're. I don't know what's worse than awful, because that might be
trash.
That sounds about right. You know, that's harsh.
Cheeks.
They're cheeks. Yes, they are cheeks. They had 149 yards. I want you to listen closely to this. 149 yards of total offense.
Come on, man.
Bruh.
Come on, man.
Bruh.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
sorry, John. I apologize to you, because it really don't get any more anemic than that.
They were 5-1. They're 5-5 right now. And I don't know. This I would bet on the 49ers practice squad, which has been essentially their main roster for the last 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I would bet on the 49ers versus the Bears right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily.
And the poor defense, the defense is doing all they can for the Chicago Bears. That offense is just, I mean, it's embarrassing.
Poor Khalil Mack, man.
It really is embarrassing, that offense. That's
he
embarrassing.
He deserves better.
Well, let's just move on, because it's just going to depress me even having to talk about that. It really is. How do you not get a first down, bro?
I don't know.
For a whole half. Like I said, the Jets get a first down. And they're the worst team I've seen in the last 25 years.
Wow.
Oh, easy.
You know, Cleveland did go 0-16.
I think that Cleveland team that went 0-16, I think they beat the Jets by 2 scores.
Okay.
Jets are horrible. But at least they get a first down.
I put nothing above Hugh Jackson. Like, if he wanted to lose, man, Hugh Jackson could lose.
Hugh Jackson gets a first down.
Perhaps. I'm not going to give it to him, but I'll say perhaps. Perhaps.
All right. Here we go.
Adam Gase, though. Let me get that. I don't want that to linger out there too long. Like, I think Adam Gase is better than Hugh Jackson. He is not. They both stink. Adam Gase is perhaps the worst coach to ever take the sideline of Jim Tomsula is close, but
Jimmy won 5 games. Jimmy won 5 games.
There you go.
I mean, Matt Nagy is really giving Gase a run for his money. He
Fair
really
enough.
Is. I mean, this is abysmal. tragic.
Both anyway, unemployed.
And Harbaugh's right around the corner. So
Michigan Harbaugh, by the way, not Baltimore Harbaugh.
No, Michigan Harbaugh. We'll jump right from Ann Arbor into Chicago, and yeah, that'll be more of the same. Anyway, due to challenges associated with the coronavirus pandemic, the entire 2021 NCAA men's basketball tournament looks like it will be played in one location. The NCAA announced on Monday. They said they're in talks with Indianapolis and surrounding metro area to be the location for this March Madness bubble, so to speak. The decision comes after the NCAA officials met to consider a variety of contingency plans. The move means that 13 sites across the country will no longer host a preliminary round of the NCAA tournament. Yeah. My question to you, Damien, and I think I know the answer because I've been around you long enough at this point. Does this NCAA tournament bubble happen?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It happens. It absolutely happens.
How does it happen if,
because
two-part question,
because
the season
wants it to happen?
So how does it happen if the season doesn't? And see, you're wavering on the season. How does it happen if the season doesn't happen?
But the season is happening. Isn't it going to start like in a week?
They're having more problems than NCAA football.
Well, yes, that's because college campuses are having problems. College campuses could give two middle fingers about the coronavirus, and that includes athletes, that includes students. If you get through, yeah, I think this is happening because they lost the tournament last year, and they lost a whole lot of money last year. Coach K has already said, we need an NCAA tournament. And if our Lord and Savior Coach K says we need an NCAA tournament, the NCAA tournament is going to give Coach K just that. So having it in Indianapolis is fine. Having it in a single location is fine. I don't know how you – I mean, that's a lot of teams. That's a lot of hotels.
It's a lot.
That, you know, there's a lot of work that went into that bubble that the NBA, you know, just completed, that the WNBA completed. That Major League Baseball, you know, portion of their season was in the bubble. I think they can pull it off. I know college coaches who don't think the season should be played. I mean, we've had two old men test positive.
Yeah, Jim Boeheim, I saw yesterday.
In Michigan State.
Tom Izzo.
Tom Izzo tested positive like late last week, I think. That's a terrible look. Like, you can't have these guys getting ill. So. Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, if they're able to get through the season, yes, I think they can pull it off. But I don't know how much of the season they actually have to get through for them to be able to pull off a tournament. Can you have a championship week too? Like, I don't know, man.
Who the hell knows?
I don't know. And by the way, it's okay not to.
Yeah, I just want to point. I don't think you have a championship this week. This year, championship week this year.
It's okay that the NCAA loses money. It's okay that Duke and Kentucky and 64 schools or 68, however many it is, it's okay that they lose money. Because you know who else is losing money? Everybody.
Facts.
Virtually everybody within earshot. Unless you own and operate Zoom or any of these new technology things that have taken over the world, unless you do that or you've been working remotely this whole time, you have probably suffered some sort of impact with this. It's okay that NCAA tournament. It's okay that NCAA football. It's okay that sports do too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But money wins out. But money wins out, which is why I think the tournament's going to happen.
Chris Tucker, money talks. You know what I mean?
Charlie Sheen. Nice reference there.
Yeah. That's a throwback for some of these people out here. Real quick, you used to mention coaches.
Sorry, go ahead.
You mentioned that coaches don't want the season to start. Or to play at all. There's definitely one coach, the coach at Iona, he does not think the season should start on time. Damien, do you know who the coach at Iona is?
No.
Rick Pitino.
Iona. So Rick Pitino got I'm angry that
Rick Pitino is back.
I'm angry that you brought up Rick Pitino's name.
He's just back. Couldn't keep him out.
Just to cleanse my palate, let's see. If we can check in really quick here. No, this didn't work the way I wanted it to. You can keep talking about Rick Pitino because my computer froze right at a really opportune time where I wanted to check in.
You With. Well, yeah, you wanted to talk about commentary. Somebody was on the ones and twos this Tuesday.
Three, so I guess it is a catch. That's three steps. As bang, bang.
It is a bang, bang.
And bang, bang, you can't overrule it. So this may be Detroit football.
Let's try some more.
On the field.
Time here. Let's see if he made a foot. Look at all that space out of there, man. That's a great play design, man. They threw the screen right into where the blitz came from. Anytime you do that, man, it's set up to be 20 plus yards.
That's a key to lead.
I love it.
He was an affectionately known on Sunday as Uncle Aqib Talib. I realize most people probably did not watch the Detroit Lions Washington football game, and that's too bad because Alex Smith was absolutely extraordinary. His comeback effort felt just short, and you missed Uncle Aqib Talib in his debut on commentary.
Tell me where Aqib Talib is at this week. I'm there. I'm there. I love it. No disrespect to the Troy Aikmans and the Chris Collinsworth or whatever the case may be. They're great at how they present the game. But sometimes I want to hear how Aqib Talib sees the game, how he talks about the game. I'd love to hear, and this is crazy that I feel this way now in 2020, because in 2012, I couldn't stand the sound of his voice. When he's done, I'd love to hear Richard Sherman talk about the game.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Richard would be flawless for this. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So more Aqib Talib, please. When is he doing a Niners game? That's all I need to know.
Well, at the rate the 49ers are going, I don't know what level Aqib Talib is on the broadcasting chart, but it could be happening. It could be happening.
Niners football team may have Aqib Talib on the commentary.
That dude, you may have nailed it right there. That may actually be it. Let's see.
He hold before he give up a sack, Dan. He's not giving up a sack in what the last 10 games he's played. Montez Sweat with a great move to beat him straight off the line, and I feel you, Decker. I hold.
That's my guy. I'm with him. Get us out of here, man. What do you got?
Last one I got here. There's rumblings in San Jose that the Sharks may be leaving San Jose, right? I don't think they will. I think the reason why is pretty stupid, but they may be leaving. Sacramento Sharks, your thoughts?
Okay. That's going to make the Golden One Center really cold, bro.
Have you
ever been in a hockey arena, man? It is freaking cold, but hey, more sports teams, the better. I'm with it. Women's soccer team coming. We've got the MLS team on the way. I'm with it. Let's do it.
Sacramento Sharks, let's do it.
The sports capital of the world, I believe, would be the plan. We're going to be your draft capital of the world tomorrow.
Ooh, 12 here.
To 8. 8 straight hours of draft coverage, 8 straight hours of Kings coverage. Make your plans to be with us. We have got you covered beginning tomorrow at 12. Damon Ratto and Kolsky are coming up next here on Sacramento's number one sports station, ESPN 1320.
Holla.